So today we're going to read Colossians chapter 3 verses 5 through 11 and briefly look in this passage. And before we read, it's important to remind ourselves and remember where we find this particular passage. And in a couple of Sundays that preceded this one, we talked that Paul is writing to Colossians. And who's he writing to? When I was reading this passage right there, and as we will read it, you will see that some of the things that are said in verse 5 makes you wonder, is he writing to Christians or non-Christians? And if you go back, all the way back to chapter 1, verse 2, you do see that he, in fact, is writing to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. So he's writing to the church. He's writing to the Christians in Colossians. And recall from the context that he's telling them about Christ. He's reminding them about Christ. And then, in chapter 2, he spends quite a bit of time addressing the issues. Must have been false teachers that crept into the church. So an issue of false teachers that were holding the church to some kind of legalistic and man-made traditions. So in chapter 2, he spends a long time, quite a bit of verses, addressing that now, if we have died, if we've been crucified with Christ, we are to be dead to man-made laws. And then, of course, he goes on at the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of 3 saying, well, if we've died to the world and if we died in Christ also, didn't we resurrect with Christ? And if we've resurrected with Christ, we are to live, we are to focus, and we are to pursue Christ in all that we do. And that is what he begins chapter 3 with. And so with that context, now we find ourselves in chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. But before I start reading verse 5, look in verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1. He says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Verse 2, set your mind on things that are above, not on things on this earth. So he's reminding the church to set our sight on Christ that is above. And so having said that context, having told us that we've died to the world, that we've resurrected, that now we are focused on Christ, he proceeds in the next 20 or so verses, to tell us actually two pieces. In the verses that we're reading today, he's actually telling us, church, don't do these things because you're dead. Because you're dead to the world. Your fleshly person or your fleshly self is dead. That's verses 5 through 11. And then in the subsequent verses 12 and on, he's saying, but now because your inner person has been born and is of Christ, these are the things that you ought to be doing. And so now let's read these verses. Verse 5 says the following. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, which are fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourself are to put off these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all, brothers and sisters. So as you read this passage, as I first read this passage, as I told you, I had to do a double take. Why? Because especially when you read verse 5 and it says, put off all these things, and he starts listing fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desire, covetousness. I thought to myself, is he really talking to Christians? Or is he talking to... who's he talking to? Well, remember what Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. Paul says the following, for what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. Of course, we have to understand it in context, but what Paul was telling us is that he's living in the flesh, and our flesh still has the venom of sin in it, and its desires and its passions are letting themselves know to us on a daily basis. I don't know about you guys, you church out there, but my flesh is certainly revolting and attempting to revolt on a daily basis here against me. And so Paul, yes, in fact, he is indeed writing to the church in this chapter 3 of Colossians that we read in verse 5. And he's telling that therefore, having all that context that we just reminded ourselves, therefore that now we're dead to the world, now we are to look only at Christ, therefore he's telling them, put to death. He's reminding that church back then, and he's reminding us as well, to put to death all of these things that our flesh might still desire, that our flesh might still revolt against the spiritual man and still have those passions, to put to death all those things. And let's read them again in verse 5. It says, fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desire, covetousness, which are idolatry. Those things are idolatry, he tells us. We can spend a long time diving deep into each one of those words. What is passions? What is uncleanness or fornication, for example? But we won't do that right now. And I trust that you will do that either on your own time or at a later time, perhaps we'll get back to it. But my point today is that Paul's reminding us and was reminding Colossians to put all of those things to death when they make themselves evidenced in our flesh. Why? Because he answers the why in the next verse, verse 6, because he says, of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Meaning that if we do those things still, being saved people, he's reminding us that it's because of those things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, as he says. And if you go back and look at Romans chapter 1, verse 18, it's a parallel passage that says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Wrath of God is being revealed and coming on all unrighteous men. And here, he's reminding us, if we do those things, if we don't put to death these fleshly desires and other things that he listed, then we in fact are doing the same thing that the wrath of God is coming upon this earth for. Now, of course, we can't, in our own strength, do any of that, put to death our own fleshly desires. We can only do it through the power of Christ, as he says, anything I can do through Christ, Paul in a different epistle. So we remember and think of that, but the reminder nonetheless is here from Paul to us that now that we are saved, now that we have the living new spiritual man born and living in us, we are to put to death these fleshly desires. And look in verse 7, he reminds us and he tells us that in these sinful activities, in these things, he says, you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. So we, brothers and sisters, before we were saved, Paul reminds us, we walked in these, and the wrath of God was hanging on us. Isn't it amazing to think that it is no longer hanging of us? Why? Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and of his mercy that he gave through us, through Christ. But now, if we go on, in verse 8, he tells us, but now you yourself, you are to put off all these things that we read. And not only that, he gives us another list in verse 8. He says, you are to put off, again, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. You are to put it off and strike that from your mouth. And when I read that particular verse in verse 8, I can't help but be reminded of a passage in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5, at the end, Paul, writing to a different church in Galatia, he lists a number of fruits of the spirits, which would be Galatians 5:22 and further. But before that, if you go there in Galatians 5:19, he lists the fruit of the flesh or the works of the flesh. And as I read this particular verse again, Colossians 3:8, where he's telling us, "But now you are to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth, and don't lie to one another." I can't help but be reminded, because it seems like there's such a large crossover. So let's go and look at that verse, Galatians 5:19. When Paul is writing to Galatians, he tells them that these are the works of the flesh. So if you go to Galatians 5:19 and he starts listing them, what are the works of the flesh? He says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication," there it is again, "uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentious, jealousness, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those," note the following phrase, "those that practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So there in Galatians, he tells them, those that practice, drawing our attention and highlighting those that do those things continually. It's said that doctors practice medicine, meaning that they practice medicine on a continual periodic basis. They do it every single day. And there Paul wrote to Galatians, "Those that practice those things, those are not and will not inherit the kingdom of God." And I brought our attention there. Why? Again, because the lists are so similar. And now that we go back to and look at Colossians 3:8, the verse where we paused, he's listing some of the same things. He's listing and he's saying, "But now you," addressing the church, "put off all these," anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and so forth and so on. And so the distinction is that, unlike the unsaved, we, the saved, we don't practice those things. We don't continue to look at them. But our flesh revolts against us. And every once in a while, or maybe every once in a while being on a daily basis, our emotions or what have you, gets the best of us, and your flesh revolts where you do want to perhaps respond in an unholy and unworthy manner. And Paul is telling us, don't do that. Don't do that. Check yourself and put away all of these things. It's because of those same things, that's what wrath is being revealed to the disobedient and to those that are perishing. And as we finish and end this passage, and before Paul starts telling us in verses 12 and on how the elect and how the holy brethren are to act in the presence of God, he reminds us and he starts transitioning into that by telling us in verse 10 that we are to put on a new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So we are to put on the new man according to the image of God, according to the image of Christ. So as we look again in context of this passage, we realize and we see that we Christians, we that are those that are truly saved, we have died with Christ to man-made laws. And we similarly are resurrected with him. Therefore, as we consider and reflect on our lives, we are to put to death our fleshly man, our fleshly desires that are fighting against our spiritual desires on a daily basis. Those desires that are still pulling us, you can say, straight into hell. We are to fight and we are to put those off. And next time we will look actually as to how we are to put on what Paul just told us in verse 10. Amen.